is another in the series, New Covenant Theology Made Simple. Not simplistic, I hope, but made simple. And I want to say a few words on the miracle that Christ wrought at Cana in Galilee when he turned the water into wine at the wedding in that village. Now, John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, that's what I'm referring to. Now, John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, speaks of something which seems, on the surface, very obscure. Cana of Galilee, this village out in the back of beyond in the north, nowhere of importance, probably a village wedding of very little importance, and yet John has recorded this miracle. He tells us in John chapter 20 and verses 30 to 31 that he records seven miracles or signs, as he calls them, to vindicate Christ, to convince believers and strengthen them in their faith and encourage them to go on believing, and of course to lead unbelievers, to persuade them, to lead them to a saving trust in Christ. If you read John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31, you will see this. And John starts these seven miracles with this obscure village wedding. Staggering, isn't it? Pretty strange. I hope I can, in this short video clip, indicate to you, show you, how seemingly obscure this episode is. A very wonderful declaration, a very wonderful indication and part of John's purpose. He's writing late, of course, and he's setting out the glories of Christ in these seven miracles. Now, if you go back to John chapter 1, that preface to his gospel, you will see he sets out some huge themes there. He speaks of Christ being the Word of God, the Son of God, the Messiah who came into the world, the God who appeared as a man amongst men, sinless, standing amongst sinners, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then he comes to John chapter 1 and verse 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You can hear him. I know the word "but" is not in the text, but it's there in implication. The law was given by Moses. Wonderful. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then he speaks of the two baptizers, John the Baptist, but the greater Baptist, the one who will baptize not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. And then John, pointing to Christ, is saying, "Behold, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." A tremendous preface with huge themes laid out there, which John, in his gospel, will vindicate by these seven signs. And he begins, strangely, he begins with this obscure village wedding, turning the water into wine. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses, the man, the agent that was used by God to bring the old covenant, the first covenant, the Mosaic covenant to Israel. Jesus Christ coming in from the Father into the world, bringing in the new covenant. Matthew 5, 17 to 20. I have come to fulfill the old covenant. And he has fulfilled it and superseded it now, rendering it obsolete by completing all its shadows and bringing in the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13 and so on. I'm just giving brief seed thoughts here. My works have set these out in more detail, but this is what John is saying here. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, what did Moses do when he worked his miracles? One of the miracles, one of the signs that Moses showed to Pharaoh was the turning of water into blood. It was a curse. What was the first sign that John has selected? The first sign that Jesus indicated that he had come to bring in the new covenant. What was his sign? He turned water into wine. A curse under the old covenant. A joy. Unlimited, unbounded joy in the new covenant. You remember John chapter 10 and verse 10. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. How much hype do you want? This is not hype at all, of course. It's the truth. But how much do you want? I have come that they may have life, but that they're not only life, but life more abundantly. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The living water within the souls, the hearts, and the minds of all the saints. The Holy Spirit given because Christ would be glorified. This is what John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11 is about. He turns water into wine, and it's the glorious wine. It's the best wine of all. You remember the leaders of the feast said, oh, this is strange, you've kept the best at last. Normally they give the best at first, but you give them the best at last. Yes, life, more abundant life. The joy of the Holy Spirit. This is the teaching of John here. He's taking this sign, this miracle from Christ, and he's saying, now look, I want you to be convinced. Here is the new covenant. Here is the bringer of the new covenant. He has rendered the old obsolete. Now, all the letters will go into this in great detail. The writers there will go into this in very clear detail. The Acts of the Apostles will show it being worked out, but the letters will show it. Romans, for example, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3, and take the letter to the Hebrews. Now, that's just for starters. Read these letters and see them and see how they show the glories of the new covenant superseding the fading glories of the old covenant. Now, Christ taught this not only by this miracle, but he taught it by a parable. Luke chapter 5 and verses 36 to 38. He said, you don't take an old garment that's got wears and tears in it and patch it up with new material. No, no, no. You don't take new wine and put it into old wineskins. Oh, no, no, no. Because those old wineskins, those leather wineskins, they've been useful in the past. They fulfilled their job. But they're now obsolete because they're withered, they're dry, they're exhausted, they're finished. What you need is new wineskins. Now, when I preached on this, I started by saying, why ever would you crucify a man for telling you pretty stories? Well, of course, it wasn't a pretty story at all. He was showing the Jews, he was arguing, he was teaching, Christ was teaching that the old covenant has been superseded, rendered obsolete, now fulfilled, completed. Yes, it's still part of the Word of God, and we still find it coming over into the new covenant under its proper nuances. But the truth is, we are in the new covenant, brothers and sisters. I speak to believers. We're in the new covenant. And this new covenant is joy, not curse, liberty, not bondage, life, not death. It's the Holy Spirit within. He was not yet given until in the way that he would be given after the glorification of Christ in Pentecost and so on. This is what John 2, 1 to 11 is about. It's John 1, 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, I say this for two reasons. One is a technical reason. I want to instruct. I want to inform. I want to teach. The letters must set it all out in full, clear detail. But this is the glory of New Covenant. This is the theology of the New Covenant. And it is simple. Christ is all. He has brought this liberty and this joy. He has brought this salvation, this redemption. Moses pictured it, but Christ brought the reality. So it's a technical, instructing thing, and I want to do that. And I hope it has been helpful in that way, this little discourse. But there's a bigger fish to fry here. I want to bring on the personal application to saints, first of all. Oh, child of God, John wrote these miracles down. He set them out, these signs, to indicate to us the glories of our Christ. The glories of the Messiah, the glories of the Lord Jesus, and seeing him, the glorious Christ, we may be confirmed in our faith, assured, strengthened, persuaded, and go on to serve him and glorify him. But I also address unbelievers, any unbeliever listening to me. This is written down, this is set out in the Bible, these declarations are set here. What for? To show you Christ and to draw you to him. And I would, if I could, persuade you to come, urge you to come, press you to come to the Lord Jesus and drink at this fountain. Oh, taste and see how gracious the Lord is. Enjoy this new covenant. What do I mean? Receive Christ. Trust him. Give up trying your own efforts, the old exhausted, tired out regulations and rules and all these ordinances that you might want to go through, rites and ceremonies and religion. Give that up, my friend, and turn to Christ and receive him, and you will have life and have it more abundantly. Eternal life, eternal joy. All your sins will be washed away. You will be given a spirit. Indeed, the spirit will have worked in you to bring you to Christ. And all will be joy in him. Eternal joy. I'm not saying there's no difficulty or sorrow in the Christian life, but I am saying it leads to bliss indescribable. This is the glory of the new covenant. This is the privilege of preaching Christ, to take and bring dead sinners. Not that I can do it, but may the Spirit do it. To take and bring dead sinners to a saving trust in Christ, an enjoyment of all his mercies, and to explore all the wonders in his person, name, and merit, both now and forever, life and life abundant. May it be that many will hear of Christ and trust him and find it so. And those of us who do trust him, may we love him more and be confirmed and strengthened in faith in him and all to his glory. Amen.